Psalm 122 tonight. Psalm 122. Boy, didn't we have a good service this morning. Amen. Just a blessed time in the house of the Lord. And my cup is running over. And, you know, let me just tell you how God works. Amen. Let me just tell you what God does. I come this morning. I was frustrated, aggravated, mad. Man, they done broke into my barn and stole $2,000 worth of tools and left. And the more I thought about it, my wife can tell you this morning before church, I was just as mad I could bite a wire nail in half. I just hadn't got over it yet. And you know, she told me something, said, you know, we need to pray for those people. Amen. As somebody that's in such a shape that they feel that they got to steal, we need to pray for those people. I said, they better pray that I don't find them. Amen. And pray that I don't get a hold of them. Amen. That's what was in my heart. You better pray that I don't see them. In Baltimore, you can loot and steal, and they don't do nothing about it. Around my place, you loot, I shoot. Amen. It's as simple as that. And that's the way it's going to be. But praise God, I didn't have the right frame of mind. I didn't have the right heart. Amen. And I was just mad and kind of sulking over the tools that I lost. And then I got down here today, and Sister Joanne come to me and says, hey, do you want one of the big stand-up bass guitars? I've been wanting one for years. I said, sure, how much? She said, free. Hey, man. She said, the lady just wants it to be played and be, well, praise God, we ain't got no problem with that, do we, Brother Jimmy? Amen. You know, God just pours manna down from heaven. You know, he can show you that even in your frustration and even in your darkest times and the things that aggravate you the most, he's still going to bless you. Amen. I tell you what, I had a bad attitude when I got here, but by the time preaching got around and we got through Sunday school, and God done convicted my heart over there in 1 Peter 2 and 21 about the example that he left behind us. And we spent the biggest part of the adult Sunday school class this morning talking about the example that Christ has left us. Amen. Conviction. Amen. And then we got into the morning service. You know, I guess when the preacher gets his heart right. Amen. Hey, it happens. Amen. Brother, last time, I had to go back and look at the prayer list. Ain't that a shame? One of the preachers up in Appalachia, the little churches and stuff, the older gentleman. Yeah, you all got the same problem I do, don't you? No. No, not Donnie Farmer. The missionary that we support that preaches to the small churches. Y'all hold on a minute. Y'all as bad as I am. Huh? T.D. Burgess. Yeah, there you go. See, I don't feel so bad now. Amen. Brother T.D. Burgess, when he was here the last time, said he just come out of a meeting. I had four people in a gospel quartet and two deacons got saved. Amen. Let me tell you what, when the church gets right, amen, things can happen. Amen. When the church gets right, God can show up and God can move and God can show off the way that he wants to. And I think that's what he did this morning. Amen. And we just seen God move in a great way. And I'm just thankful for that. In Psalm number 122, if you want, let's stand tonight. Let's just give honor to the reading of God's word. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Brother L., would you take us tonight to the throne of grace? You may be seated. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What a place God has prepared and God has provided for us, that we could come and we could set apart and get away from the world and get away from the cares. A place where we can come to find encouragement and help. A place where we can come to be strengthened in the inner man and strengthened to face what the world is going to bring our way in the outward man. It's a place where God's people can find everything that they need, because there's somebody here to help you in your needs. For the wounded, it's a hospital. I've heard some folks say, well, it shouldn't be a hospital, and really it shouldn't have to be a hospital. It should be a war room. But praise God, sometimes in the midst of battle you get wounded. Amen. Sometimes in the midst of the work you get hurt, and praise God, it's a place of healing for your soul. When you come and God's word begins to penetrate your heart and begins to penetrate the wound, no matter how deep it is, and he brings healing to your heart and healing to your soul. You got loved ones that are wayward, family members that are causing you to struggle and pull your hair out, and God just says, it's all right, it's all right, I've got this, I'm in control, I'm still on the throne, just trust in me and let me give you the peace that you need. Let me heal the wounds of your heart and the wounds of your life. Some friend has said something and done something that has brought a grievous hurt, and you come to the house of God and you find that in forgiveness you get healed. Amen. You find that in forgiving them, it brings healing to you. You find that how you get what you need. Oh, friends, I'm glad. I'm glad there's healing and there's help in the house of God. And as I said, it's a war room. As we come and soldiers prepare for the battles that are before them. Amen. We're called to enlist in the army of God. Paul tells us to put on the Christian armor. Amen. The war is real. I'll preach sometime, but I want to do it when God says to do it, not when Dennis wants to do it. I'd like to preach sometime on the armor of God, but I'd like to preach a sermon on every piece. I think it's that important. Amen? But we come and we find out what we need and how we can defeat the enemy. We found that out this morning in Sunday school by listening to the Word of God and seeing that Christ, our Lord, left us an example. How did he defeat the devil? Amen. He was prepared. He'd been to the war room. Amen. You know what he had? He had the weapons that were needed. Amen. He had exactly what was going to put the old devil right in his place. And that's what we need. We need to come and get trained in the war room of God for the war that's before us. Our adversary, the devil, amen, is seeking whom he may devour. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil, Satan, he wants to sift you as wheat. Amen. You want to know how to defeat the devil? You need to come to the war room. Amen. You need to come and get prepared for the battle that's before you. And for the worker, it's a ready room to help to prepare you. And by the way, Sister Nancy told me that they're going to have a visitation. We done, praise God, I think revival or something has done happened here at Charlestown, and it's broke out. Sister Nancy said, ladies are going to meet here. If you want to go on visitation Saturday, you be here to go with Sister Nancy. I believe the men are having visitation too. Is that right? Hopefully, the men I'll be meeting too, you show up. Amen. There's some place to go. But it's a ready room. Amen. To prepare the workers for the work that's before them and the labor that they're going to be doing. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. But praise God, some have chosen this morning to step up. Amen. Some have chosen to go where nobody will go, and they got to get ready. They got to get prepared. You got to get yourself mentally prepared and spiritually prepared, because sometimes you're going to hear things you don't want to hear. Amen. But if you're going to be a worker for the cause of Christ, you got to be sure that your every action uplifts and glorifies him. Your every action just brings honor unto him. You see, the house of God is a university for the child of God, for the student of the Word of God that wants to know more about him. Let me tell you what, You're not going to learn about him in the world. You're not going to learn about him in the secular schools and secular. You might learn their idea of what they think he is, but you're not going to learn about him. You want to be taught of him. I tell you what, there's no better place than to come out to the house of God. The psalmist said, I was glad. I was glad. Sometimes it seems like you got to drag people to church. Amen. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, I was glad. I want to preach. I want to preach just a few moments on just a few thoughts that's right here in Psalm 122. Amen. What a place we have. What a place God has given us. Well, what a place to just be. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That the house of God ought to be a place that brings rejoicing to your heart and rejoicing to your life. When you think about your church and you think about the house of God, it ought to be good thoughts and happy thoughts and joyous thoughts of the times that you spent there and the things that you've seen God do there. Instead of, oh no, I got to go back down to that place. The psalmist said, I was glad to get there. Why? Because when we get there, it becomes a different place. It becomes a different attitude. Sometimes it's hard to get here. I understand that. Sometimes the devil fights against you getting here. But praise God, you ought to remember that every time you get here, God shows up. Amen. Amen. God shows up and he visits with his people and he teaches us and he encourages us. He helps us. He heals us, strengthens us, and instructs us in the things that we need to do and the places where we need to go. In Ezra's day, as they rebuilt the tabernacles or the temple, as they were laying the foundations, it says over here in Ezra chapter number 3, listen. It says, and it's talking about the people as they laid the foundations. I want you to listen to this. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people, you know, folks say shouting's out of style. And shouting, that's just something the hillbillies did, and the old southern churches did and invented. Shouting is something that's undignified. Amen. Well, right here in my Bible, it says, and all the people shouted. Amen. Amen. All the people shouted. Amen. Let me tell you what, there's nothing wrong with shouting. Amen. It's a way to give glory unto God. Listen to this. And they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But listen at this. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men. Now these people are coming back out of captivity. They're coming back out of a dry season. They've been down in that valley of dry bones. Amen. God had dried them up and God had scattered them. And there was an exceeding great many as we preached this morning. They're coming back out of that and they're coming back from that. And they're beginning to see the hand of God upon them as he has done breathe the breath of life back into them. As he told them he would bring them back from their graves and from that place of deadness. And he said many of the priests, the Levites, and the chief of the fathers who were the ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice and many shouted for joy so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the noise of the joy of weeping of the people for the people shouted with a loud shout and the noise was heard afar off. Oh friend, and I want you to know the house of God ought to be a place that's longed for. When those old timers seen that foundation laid, they remembered how good it was in the time that they got to be in the house of God before it had been destroyed, before it had been toppled down. When they seen the foundation laid, it brought joy to their heart. It brought rejoicing. And they shouted and they glorified God. It was longed for. It was desired. And it was a place where they wanted to be a part of. And that's the way it ought to be to us. That's the way it needs to be today. It needs to be a place where God's people don't come to see and to be seen. Amen. But where God's people come to worship Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him. And it's all about lifting up His name. Look at what it says down here in verse number 4. It brings a joy and rejoicing to the heart. And in verse number 4, it says, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. Where God's people go, and God's people are reminded. It says, go unto the testimony. You know what was in the temple and in the tabernacle of the testimony, the temple of the testimony. You know what was there? It was the ark of the testimony. Amen. And in the ark of the testimony had God's word was written down. God's promises were there. They were reminded of God's faithfulness. They were reminded of God's presence. They were reminded of God's deliverance. They were reminded of God's strength. Amen. They went up there because there was something there that reminded them of how God had brought them through before and how He had promised to preserve them and bring them through again. Friend, when you get down and you get discouraged, you know what happens? We see people go through problems in their life, and instead of running to the house of God where they can be reminded of God's goodness, they run away from God. They run so far away. They go everywhere else and they seek everything else. Problems come in your life. And problems go from your life. But I tell you what, when problems come and you get to the place where you're reminded of how good God, you're reminded of the time that He saved you. Amen. Whew. You know, I could have died without Jesus. Amen. But He saved my soul. Some saved here at this altar. Some saved at the house of God, a church somewhere else, at another altar. But we're reminded in the house of God of how merciful and how good God is to us and His promises that whosoever will. I'm glad whosoever will was me one day. Amen. I'm glad I realized that. We're reminded of God's salvation. How many times have you failed God? How many times have you sinned and you let Him down? And we're reminded time and time again of His forgiveness and His cleansing and His mercies to us. The writer in Lamentations says it's of God's mercies. He said we're not consumed. He said it's by cause of His long suffering. Let me read to you what he says over in Ephesians. It tells us that we need to remember who we are. And in Lamentations, he says, I'm reminded. I recall to mind. And he says, I remember God's mercies. I remember the things that God had done. It's a place where we come and we're reminded of how God has taken people who seemed unusable and how people who seemed unlikely to do great things. And God has taken them and put His anointing upon their lives and called them into works. And we're reminded time and time again, we hear the testimonies of God's people of how they'd been in the valley. Amen. And found that even in the valley, God was good. Amen. That was a different, even in the valley, God's good song than what I was thinking. Amen. But even in the valley, God is good. Amen. Even in the valley, we're reminded. I remind myself when I get discouraged. I remember Miss Ella Wilson. And I never will forget Joanne. When you ask her, but Miss Ella, what are you going to do? She was down to her last bout of cancer. They told her it was the end this time. There was no hope. There was nothing else they could do. It had done spread, and there was just absolutely nothing else that was going to happen. And I stand at the back of the church, and Joanne says, but Miss Ella, what are you going to do? She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to slap my wig on, paint my lips up, and I'm going to come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. come to the house of God. Why do you think she wanted to come to the house of God? Because she found what she needed here that the world couldn't provide for her. She found the strength that she needed. She found hope that she needed. She found the help that she needed. Just in the presence of God's people and with God as he visited her, as he showed up when she came, she was reminded of his faithfulness and of his goodness. And she remembered that even though she was going through a dark valley, he said he would never forsake her. And she knew that the valley of death was looming before her, and she was traveling to it fast. But his word said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Anybody see a thing on Facebook here a while back? Somebody had it, and I posted it to my page. Fella's got a match, and he's holding it up against the wall. Anybody seen that? Go. If you're on Facebook, go to my page and look at it. It's on there somewhere. You see the shadow of the guy's hand. You see the shadow of the matchstick. But there ain't no shadow behind that flame. Amen? There's no shadow there. Where there's light. Amen? Where there's light, death can't even approach. Amen? Where the light of the world walks through the valley of death with the child of God, Brother Delbert, you don't have to worry about death because he's at a bay. He can't come near you. Amen? Because the light of the world is with you. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that I come to the house of God and I'm reminded of the goodnesses. It was the testimony was there. The place was precious because they remembered the things that God had did. And not only that, it says in the last part of verse number 4, where am I at here? Unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. You know why they was giving thanks? Because they recalled the blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon them. As a people, they had been blessed. God's people in general need to stop moaning and belly aching and whining and crying and start telling about how good Jesus is. Amen. And I tell you what, if you want to be reminded, just come on out to the house of God. Amen. He'll remind you just how good he is. He'll remind you just how much you've taken for granted. He'll remind you of the things that you forgot about. Amen. That's why Jeremiah wrote there in Lamentations 4 about the mercies of God being new every morning. He recalled the blessings of the Lord. He said, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He's reminded and he recalls how good God has been, even though we don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's blessings. Amen. But he blesses me. Not because of who I am or what I do. Some people think, well, if I do this and I do that, God's going to bless me. Amen. Hey, I try to faithfully preach his word. I try to faithfully be at the house of God. I try to faithfully do what a pastor should do. And guess what? They broke into my barn the other night and stole all my junk. Amen. But guess what? God is good. Amen. God's better than all that. Amen. Sometimes we think God owes us something because of who we are and what we do. But praise God, we got to be reminded that he does for us what he does for us because of who he is. Amen. And because of his character and how he deals. Praise God. Ain't he good? Hasn't he been good to you? Amen. Hasn't he blessed you? And you just need to let the world know. You just need to let your fellow believers know. You just need to let everybody know that you can let know just how good God has been. And even though the junk is gone, I'm going to praise God. Amen. I might get a new saw. I don't know. Amen. I pout long enough, she'll feel sorry for me and buy me another. That's the way it works. Amen. But praise God, you know what I mean? Just because God takes things away doesn't mean he's not God and he's not good. Amen. Let me tell you what. God has always done for me and God has always given me better than what I deserve. Amen. Better than what I could have ever achieved and accomplished on my own. You know why I like coming to the house of God? Because I can look around me and I can see people who were drunks that God has taken up out of the gutter. I never knew him back then, but this was hell on wheels. Amen. When he was a young man, am I lying? Amen. Amen. I've heard the stories. Amen. I mean, this was hell personified on earth. And God saved him. Amen. And look at what he's done. Amen. Look at what he's done and look at how he's used him. And look at how he's blessed him. Amen. I can look at me. Brother Jim will tell you, when I met him, he was a drinking. Amen. After I first met him and after he got out of the school that I was teaching, he just spiraled plumb down. He got out of the military and it got even worse. And he'll tell you his testimony. I'm not trying to make light of it, but he's not here. But I can share it with you. He was a drunk. But praise God, one night. Amen. One night, somebody invited him to go to church. Somebody told him about Jesus. Somebody told him that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And guess what? Told him that Jesus saves drunks. Jesus saves those who are in the guttermost to the uttermost. And praise God, he got gloriously saved. Amen. And God gave him a Christian wife. And now he has a Christian home. And now he's a blessing to folks in the name of Jesus. Why? Because God has blessed him. You want to think, you young people, look around. You see people that try to tell you not to do things. You know, Brother McKay, he preached a message down at their youth revival right before school started. And he preached about Jesus on the cross. And one of his last words from the cross, one of his last statements was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he preached a message to young people. You don't know what you're doing. Man, it was an awesome message. You don't know what you're doing. You look around and we tell you, don't do that. Because it's going to take you here. You know why we know? We've been there. Amen. We've been there. We've tasted of what the devil has to offer. And it seemed good for a while. But after a bit, we found out that all his apples have worms in them. Amen. And what he had wasn't what he promised. And what he had was going to bring you to destruction. I come to the house of God for I can recall his blessings, Brother Delbert, and saving me and forgiving me for sin and providing for the needs that I have, the provision that I have. My gosh, I don't know anybody that has started out with what we did. And can we, you know what we started out with? Clothes on our back. Amen. My mama was a widow working in a sewing factory. And she flat looked at us when we got married. We was young. I was 17. She was 18. And she said, "Don't ask me for nothing because I don't have it." Amen. Her mama was a widow living on less than, I don't know how she even lived on what she got. And wasn't no need to ask her because she didn't have it and she couldn't give it. Amen. And God has took nothing and blessed it and blessed it and blessed it. And he's given us so much that I couldn't even begin to count of all the things that God has done. But let me tell you what, I can tell you this, my Redeemer's faithful and true. Amen. My Redeemer will fill your cup till it runs over. And when you think the things of this world are something to get all worried about, just forget about it because God's bigger than all that. Amen. We recall the blessings of God. Amen. It's good to be in God's house because just the testimonies of God's people encourage one another. The testimonies of God's people uplift and help one another and bring one another through adversity and trial. It's good to be in the house of God. Look at what he said over in Hebrews 10, 24. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that provoke don't mean to push or it doesn't mean to do it in a frustrating, you know, sometimes you're provoked into things. It means to encourage you, to help you, amen, to come unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we have a hope and a help, and we have all kinds of things that are promised of God's word, and we're reminded in God's house of the promises. But when God's people begin to tell about God's goodness and his bounty to them, and we begin to recall all that he's done, it reminds us of just how good a God we serve. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for every promise that he's made. Amen. But praise God. I can really, really, really be thankful for every promise that he's fulfilled. You get the difference? Amen. I can't. All I can tell you is my God's been faithful and true. In everything that he said, I'm assured that he's going to fulfill and he's going to do. You believe that tonight? Amen. But I grasped that and I looked at a testimony by faith. Amen. But I recall, and I testify, and I tell of what God has done in my life by experience. Amen. I've been there, and I've seen God's hand. I've been there. I've hurt so bad that I couldn't stand it and just said a simple prayer. I was passing the kidneys. I didn't know what it was. I was saying, I was passing that thing. I had to get the boy drive me home, run past the hospital. You want me to take you to the hospital? I don't know. Just get me home. I get home. Mama get a hold of me. I'll be all right. Amen. Amen. But Dr. Deb, amen, she's got a dab of this, a squirt of that, something. She'll make it all right. Just get me home. Amen. By the time I got home, I was telling myself what a fool I was for passing up a perfectly good hospital. I hurt so bad I couldn't stand it. Let me tell you, I was sick. I was in the bathroom throwing my guts up, and I hurting so bad I couldn't stand it. And I got to where I couldn't take it any longer. I said, God, I can't deal with any more of this. Please take this pain away. And I kid you not, it just like somebody flipped a switch. It was just like I walked over and flipped that light switch. Don't tell me my God don't answer prayer. Amen. Don't tell me my God's not good. Amen. I know he is. I'm walking around on two legs now because my God is good. I'm alive today. I was on a ship that I thought was sinking, and everybody thought was sinking in the midst of a storm. And praise God, my God brought me through. My God is good. Amen. I faced some trials. I faced some rough character. I faced a fellow that was going to shoot me one night. Everybody, it was in the shop and in the office. When that guy said he was going to get his gun, he was coming back to shoot me, they disappeared. And praise God. I said, yeah, a lot of help you guys were. They said, when a nut like that says he's going to shoot you, you don't stick around. Amen. But God was there, and God delivered. Amen. And God has been there time and time and time again. Let me tell you what, he's too good not to brag about. He's too good not to talk about. Amen. I want to recall, and we need to listen to the people when they tell us about what God has done in their life. And then look at what he said here in verses 8 and 9. He says, let's go back to verse 7. He says, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. In Jerusalem is where the house of God stood, is where the tabernacle and the temple was erected. The temple stood, and it was in Jerusalem where people aspired to go to see the testimony. testimony of the Lord. It was in Jerusalem where people went, and the psalmist says, I want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because of my brethren and because of my companion. Let me tell you what, I want you to know tonight that my desire is for you to have peace in your heart and in your life. Amen. I preach the way I preach because I want you to have peace. And when I preach hard, and I preach hard a lot of times, and when I preach those messages that break the bark and pierce the soul, I preach it because I want you to have peace. Amen. I want you to know that perfect peace that God gives, that peace that passes understanding, that peace that the world can't comprehend, the peace that the world can't take away. And the psalmist said in Psalm 16, he says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now listen to what he said in verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Why? Because I got down to the house of God, and I found out that even in the midst of storm, amen, there was hope. I got down to the house of God, and I realized that no matter how bad it got, he was right there beside me. I got down to the house of God, and I was reminded that there's no safer place to be than the hand of God. And even though we go through the storm, Brother Joe Arthur preached a message down at camp meeting one night on the eye of the storm, and his disciples were rowing, and the sea was contrary to them, and they were trying to go, and Jesus came a-walking to them in the middle of the night. And in the midst of the storm, they seen him a-walking, and they feared, thinking it was a spirit or a ghost. And he says, be not afraid, it is I. Amen. Let me tell you what. When you have the eye of the storm, you know perfect peace. When you have the eye of the storm, you can find rest. You're not going to find him at the Walmart. Amen. You find a bunch of junk, and that's mostly what Walmart has, a bunch of junk. Amen. You can tell I don't like Walmart. My wife, I drop her off at the door, I'll wait here. I don't want to go into that God-forsaken place. It's un-American. Amen. But you can't find Jesus there. Matter of fact, somebody said they're taking away all the Bible, they're getting rid of the Bibles and getting rid of all the stuff that has Bible verses in a lot of the Walmarts. I think it was a lot of it's over some of this stuff that's going on. But you won't find Jesus at the Walmart. Amen. You won't find peace at the Walmart. Amen. Well, my land, you can go up to El's Tar. Amen. And you can get in the back room and fellowship with El. You'll find Jesus is there. Amen. I guarantee that. But El don't sell Jesus at El's Tire. You can't find the peace. I got a tire problem I need to talk to you about, brother. And trust me, it's making me uneasy. Yeah. I can get some satisfaction on that. Amen. But Brother L can't sell me Jesus. He can't give him to me. I can go up here to the courthouse, and I can get a permit to do just about, you got to have a permit to do just about anything you want to do today. I can get a permit to allow me to do whatever it is I need to do if I want to do it, but they can't give me a permit that gives me what Jesus wants to give me. You know where you find that at? That's in the house of God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, I pray for peace because of my brethren. I'm glad I called Brother Delbert my brother. Amen. I'm glad I called Brother Rick my brother. I'm glad I called Brother Calvin my brother. Even Brother Joe back there, he's my brother. Brother L's my brother. All of you are my brothers if you're born again. All of you are my sisters if you're born again. Amen. I want peace for you. And the only place I know that you're going to find that peace is in the house of God. Amen. He said, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for your peace because of my brothers and my companions, my friends. The greatest thing that you can do for anybody is to bring them to the house of God. Amen. I don't care what they have going on in their life. The greatest thing that you can do is point them to Jesus. And the greatest place to point them to Jesus is at the house of God, to help them to realize how good that God truly is. What a place he's given us. A place where we come and meet with him. And it should thrill our heart to be here. A place when we're reminded of his promises. And a place where we hear of his deliverance and his blessings upon his people. And a place where we can find peace. Peace that the world can't understand, the world can't know, and the world can't give. But praise God, the world can't take it away either. Amen. The world can take away everything I have, but it can't take Jesus away. We stand at our feet tonight, our heads bowed.